Okay, everybody, here we go.
Get ready, people. I'm gonna go.
Today on ADHDers, we got one hell of a time for you. Coming up soon, there is one thing you can always remember. You are the master of your own universe. You are the master of your own mind. So come, let us rise together to become the great ultra community of ADHDers.
Hello. Welcome back to ADHD Explorers. My dog is excited, and we are here today. I'm Addie. I got my co-host Ben. We are ready to talk to you about friendships. So, before we get into that, quick note. Guess what? We got sponsors.
Oh baby!
Excited. So today's episode is brought to you by our partner app, SunSama. SunSama is a professional productivity tool, and it's been a game changer for many people in the ADHD community. I tried it out a little while back, and I really loved that you can take all your different calendars from all your different places and one place. It will put them together, tasks, throw them in there, chucks them on your calendar for you. So you have one succinct place that you can go to, because, you know, as an ADHDer, I'm all over the show. I have like a lot of different little jobs that I'm doing here and there. And it like it, that just throws them all together, helps you manage all your different tasks without getting overwhelmed. And every time we've mentioned it in our newsletter, the feedback's been incredible. So super curious to know what you think. We've secured a special deal for you guys, 30-day free trial instead of usual 14 days that they offer. So you can check out the link in the podcast description below.
Yahoo! Okay, and let's say you just figured out that you have ADHD or you're not unsure. There's so many of us that are unsure. How can you do it without some freaking like horoscope quiz online that's like, oh, you are ADHD? How do you know if you have like comorbidities with like autism spectrum like me, you know? And so I want to introduce you to our second partner for the episode is Sage SR by TeleSage. Like, maybe you've always wondered if you have ADHD for short. So what Sage SR is a affordable, thorough and scientific test that not only checks your ADHD score, but dives into 24 other mental health conditions. And the best part is that it's entirely anonymous and highly trusted. It actually has papers on it, which is like awesome to have that like scientific validation. The best part is it's entirely anonymous, highly trusted. You receive a detailed report that you can bring to a doctor, ensuring you're prepared and reducing the chances of a misdiagnosis. You'll find that link as well in the podcast description. So, huge thank you to both SunSama and Sage SR. Their support is what enables us to keep creating amazing ADHD content that helps everyone free of charge, and to share this podcast with all of you. So thanks, guys.
Yay.
Appreciate them. So let's dive into... All right. Friendships and how to maintain them with ADHD.
How do we do it?
I don't know. Here's the truth. I'm terrible at it. And I need you to teach me how to frickin' maintain relationships. Because we were just saying before we started that the reason me and Addie have still had this friendship now is because we have this podcast together. So thanks.
Yeah. We've known each other for 10 years. And it's helped us stay friends.
But like, it's so hard, like we're so distracted by our environment, for example, that if people aren't right in front of us, it's quite hard. And, you know, like sometimes we're just so distracted or in our own mindset that we can't really hold space to bond. Like, I know that that's what's been happening to me. You know, I'm so like, oh, everyone look at me.
Yes.
I love the attention, la, la, la. So what's the, how does one so, with ADHD maintain a good friendships and relationships?
Yeah, well, Ben, you're not alone in feeling like you struggle with friendships. I asked on our Instagram, do you struggle to maintain friendships? And the results were pretty clear. So 56% of people who responded said definitely they struggle. Only about 11% said, no, I'm good. They're good friends. Which, you know, I think some of us can be good friends. And then Another 33% said sometimes. So almost 90% of people said at least sometimes they struggle to maintain friendships. And like you said, I think it comes down to some of those things like out of sight, out of mind. If we forget that people, and it's not that we forget that they exist, but like if they're not in our in front of us, then we kind of just forget to talk to them. Or, you know, you'll start writing a message, someone texts you and you start responding, you respond in your mind, and then you pick up your phone 2 weeks later and realize you never actually sent that text. And so it's a big thing, right?
Sometimes friendships, it's overwhelmed too. Like looking at your inbox is like a mind F-U-C-K, you know, like I just want to die sometimes. And there's like 9 messages and I'm like, ah, this would take so much time. Even though I love my friends.
I find a good way to stay on top of friendships, and we'll get more into it, but instead of sending a whole text, sometimes it's like just send a meme. And it's like at least someone knows you're thinking of them.
Or a silly face. Like I love that on Snapchat you can just send a derpy face and it's it shows you're thinking of that person.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, a lot of things come into play. You know, we have, thank you. I think you're a good friend too. What do you think makes me a good friend then? Like from the other side?
I think it's like thoughtfulness. You know, I think that deep down, all I want is like to know that people care about me or like have thought about me or like just if they can like register that I'm a human that exists on the earth from time to time, that means a lot to me, to be just acknowledged.
Yeah.
And I think that thoughtfulness, I think that you're very good with gifts. Like, I think that people can just give gifts, but I think that you really think about who that person is and what they value. You know, it's like the equivalent of
like, I'll send you pictures of Minecraft stuff all the time.
100%. I love that. That's really thoughtful, you know? Like, wow, I'm smiling just thinking about it, genuinely. Like, wow. I just want to nurture like a bunch of relationships that I feel like have fallen to the wayside. And sometimes I feel like weird if I don't reach out, you know, for a while I feel guilty and then I'm stuck in that guilt spiral.
Yes.
That person, all they are to me is just guilt. And I'm like, oh, do they hate me?
Yeah,
yeah. I better not reach out in case they hate me. And it's that fear of judgment, of like, oh, fucked up, you know?
But on the flip side, when you hear from someone who you haven't heard from in a while, and it's just a little thing, they say, oh, thinking about you, they send a picture, something. How do you feel?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, remember that time when we were like jumping around the jungle? I don't know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That, it does mean a lot.
You know?
I think that it's almost like that's all it takes. And sometimes, it's almost like, it's a funny thing that we make mountains out of molehills. You know, like the fear.
For sure.
The fear of fear is bigger than what fear actually is, you know? That happens time and time again. I'm seeing like, oh, I was so scared of absolutely nothing again. I think that reaching out and just doing something small is actually a really sweet way to reconnect. It doesn't have to be a big, like, or 2 hour long conversation. You know, that's kind of intimidating sometimes.
Yeah.
So
I think part of why we struggle with friendships is that exact thing, that feeling of guilt or shame of like, oh, I haven't reached out in a while, or I forgot their birthday or something like that. And that ties into like RSD, like, oh, they're going to hate me. Oh, I'm so embarrassing. And we get in our own heads about it. When really, like you said it on a couple of episodes, you see someone having an episode walking down the street, you barely think about it. It's probably like you did an embarrassing thing. Your friends might have cared in that minute, but most likely they did not care. Yes. Or if anything, thought it was kind of endearing. Like,
yes.
People choose to spend time with you for a reason. And if they have in the past, unless there's been something big that's blown up that friendship, or you've really drifted apart in ways that are irreparable, probably for the most part they still enjoy you as a person, and it's just them, if anything, missing you. And if they're also neurodivergent, you know, they're probably also feeling like, oh, I haven't reached it out in a while, it could be weird. So just break the tension, send a silly meme, you know, send a card, draw your friend a picture, and send them a picture that you drew. That tells them that you're thinking of them.
I drew your leg, friend. I drew you a leg, and I was thinking of you because you love your right leg. That would be hilarious. I was also just thinking that I feel like it's okay to have chapters of life, you know? Like, maybe have a chapter with them, and maybe they, like, sail their own journey for a bit. But then I think that when you want to reconnect with someone, it's okay to be upfront and communicative and be like, hey, I'd really like to reconnect with you again. And just being like upfront about that, and saying like, hey, I know we haven't talked in a while, I'd love to catch up with you again. I think that's a nice way of going. It's also like about like with very close friends, I feel like it's okay to have a close circle, and I think that close circle is sometimes nurtured just by doing things like, what is, there's so many things it's nurtured by, but I think that quality time, just enjoying life together, or just blobbing out together, is a really nice way to nourish. Like, even doing laundry, I had a craving for that one time. I was like, I'd love to do laundry with a friend, or cook with a friend. And then it doesn't have to be like,
I love cooking with friends,
spending money. Yeah, cooking with friends. Why is that so beautiful? I don't know why.
I don't know. I have one of my really close friends, Teresa, who lives in Denmark. I barely see her.
Such a good friend.
She lives clearly. She lives in Denmark. I live in Canada, we see each other every few years. I think last time it was almost 4 years between seeing each other, so that's hard. But I remember going to her place once for almost a week. I think I was there for 5 days, and she had, no joke, planned a whole menu, fully vegan, that we were going to cook together. And, like, got the food ready. And that was probably one of the most, like, she is such a good friend. And, yeah, maybe we don't talk often. We send each other a novel text every 3 months or so. Or we have, like, a video call every 3 to 6 months. So it's not that often. But, like, when we do talk, it's very deep. And we care about each other a lot. We've known each other for, like, 12 years. There's that thoughtfulness, like you said, that goes into something of like, oh wow, you really thought about me. And actually, on that same trip, my other really close friend Zana lives in Germany. They had never met each other. They had heard about each other because I'm really close friends with each of them. And Zana surprised me by getting in contact with Teresa, my other friend she had never met, and showed up at her house on my birthday. So she like, they like talk to each other behind my back so that they could surprise me, and I was just
And I bet that meant the world.
So if either of you are listening, I love you. Oh yes, it means so like much.
Friendships so, are built off that thoughtfulness. It's almost like
For
and
sure.
That's why I feel like it's okay to rekindle old relationships, because the time that you have spent together and like the times that you have connected, almost like it sets in stone where you're at. Like, no matter if you like break apart, that time you've spent together like has made something that can't be extinguished unless you like burn their house down or something. But you know, like I feel like you'll always go, it does seem to just start right back where you were. Like, we've had periods where we haven't talked to each other for like a year, and then we've like hung out again. It's just like normal.
Yeah.
Like that's, boom. It's nice to remember.
Straight back into it, yeah.
When I'm feeling like guilty about not reconnecting with people, that it, more times than not, it will be fine.
What do you think about making new friends? Because I know that that's part of it as well. Is people with ADHD feel that they struggle to like make those initial friendships?
Like, I think it's interesting, my relationship with anxiety and my relationship with meeting people, because I feel like there's two ways you can interpret the sensation and the physiological like feeling of nervousness or anxiety.
Or excitement.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, I feel like anxiety and excitement are two ways to interpret very similar sensations. And you can take it one way or you can take it another. You can ride that adrenaline or you can get freaked out by that adrenaline. And so, like, my relationships have been decided on, like, how comfortable I'm feeling with people. Like, if people are quite judgmental, I can shrink. And if I'm a bit freaked out, or maybe I don't know how to communicate that, like, hi, I'm weird, you should get ready for this, which I haven't in the past. But after we did that episode about communicating your ADHD, I felt a lot more confident to be like, hey, I'm ADHD. Or they just know it anyway. I didn't know that people just knew I was ADHD just by meeting me. And so I didn't even have to say I think it was nice to go into it, like, being unafraid that they'll find out that I'm ADHD or autistic spectrum. You know, I'm one of them ADHDers. And so I think that, like, the more comfortable I've become with communicating it, with understanding it, the more I've been more unafraid to be myself, and I feel like I shrink less. And I love meeting people. Because I think that everyone is really interesting. And I think that the more I've thought about it, less like, oh, how will I appear to them? And the more I've thought about it, like, what are they really like? Like, how has this person changed from a baby into who they are? I'm fascinated by how they crafted the sculpture of themselves. And I think that with that, the responsibility isn't on, like, them to make appease me. The responsibility is me being curious in them. And I think that has helped me make, like, friends really easily. Now I've realized that and don't freak out so much. And of course I get uncomfortable still to this day. And I, like, when it comes, I'm like, hi, what's up, anxiety? Nice to see you again. Blah, blah, blah. but I think that taking the onus of other people to be responsible for the conversation and taking it on me to
and
be
being curious.
Yeah, because we're naturally curious, I feel like, as ADHDs. We want the novelty. Well, every single person is a novelty. And that gives me a lot of gossip.
Well, and, like, people want to share about themselves, right? Like Mae Martin did this whole bit about how we all have snow globes, and we're always like, hey, this is my snow globe. Look at me. We're, like, showing our weird things. So people, when you ask and when you're curious about their world and how they work, people want to share, and that's what builds connection, right? It's like, is the sharing of things and that shared interest. And so, and also on the same vein, like you said, being unashamedly yourself, authenticity, I think, attracts people. People see when you're being authentic and they like that. And then they see parts of themselves mirrored in you. And that's what, again, builds that connection. So, like, unmasking, I think, goes hand in hand with, like, becoming a more social and like, connected person.
Because there's this funny thing about society with masks and socializing. It's like sometimes there's this very competitive atmosphere. Like, in cities, I feel like it's more strong, where the mask we wear is like, oh, let's build ourselves up and, like, list our achievements when we meet people. And that's, like, kind of like masking, you know. And I think that in a lot of situations, people are, like, ready to go with, like, oh, here's my things to make me glisten. And I feel like I get really weirded out by that whole situation, because, like, I'm not here for a competition. I think that, like, I'm here, and I think, like, that's why authenticity is so interesting, because I feel like I'm in a space now with meeting people where I'm like, hey, like, I'm a human. I get really sad sometimes. I'm also on the struggle bus, on the journey of life sometimes too, and I'm not afraid to show that, like, hey, here's my rough edges. And I think that actually people are really attracted to our rough edges, because as soon as they see, like, oh, this person also has, like, weaknesses, and I know deep down in me I have weaknesses too, and therefore bond, like, in a more real way than saying, oh, look at how I glisten. Oh, I have 20.
Yes, because people like are like scared off by, like, intimidated by it, right? Almost. If someone's like being all flashy, you're like, oh, you're blinding me. Whereas if someone's like, look at my smooth belly, you're like, oh, I want to give it a rub.
I feel like that's what rock stars do. Like, I feel like they point out their, like, negative things. Like, oh, like, maybe I'm fat or maybe I'm odd. But then you can laugh about them together. And it kind of, like, totally dissolves that whole, like, oh, look at how shiny our masks are. Like, who cares? Like,
yeah.
I'm so, like, over that whole thing. Like, oh, look how shiny I am. I'm more interested in, like, hey, like, how are you really doing? Like, let's bond. Also, I think a really helpful thing when meeting people is having some really juicy questions. You know, I don't think, I don't know if we have, like, if anyone's struggling with that. I love juicy questions like, what are you passionate about? It's such a juicy question.
Yeah,
because then they
love asking people, like, what are your dreams and aspirations?
Oh, that's really good.
Like, people are like, wait, I've not been asked that before. Like, it's, the default question is like, oh, what do you do? What do I do? Well, I sleep and I eat and I shower and
I do poop. Do you do poop? Next time someone asks what do? I'm like, you can see what I'm doing. Whatever I want is what I do. Whatever I'm interested in is what I do.
I do poop. You
come on. Get creative. One of my favorite questions is what's one of your happiest memories?
Oh, yeah.
And you
another good one I heard recently was what is something you think you shouldn't tell me right now?
Oh, that is
Let
me give that a spin. What's that like?
Spice
to
the air. I have not asked it yet, but I've just heard of it as a good like first date question, but also like a friendship question. What is something you think you shouldn't tell me right now?
Wow, that is juicy. People say that I think they're really hot. Or I'm really sad. Or like, you know, something like that.
I actually really need to fart right now.
A really good bonding question that I love. Did you say what I feel you said just then? I really need to fart right now. Like,
yeah.
That's funny. One really juicy question that I absolutely love is what's something that you've overcome that you're proud of doing?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because it really brings out their strength and it immediately makes them feel confident by telling their story of a challenge they've overcome. Because I think that is a, I don't know, you wouldn't ever know that by asking what do you do, you know?
I've also more recently been asking people what's something you like were obsessed with as a kid, and then the things they come out with, and then you end up talking about weird shark facts.
Oh my god! And I bet they know loads about it, so they're ready to like share.
Yes,
almost, like, encouraging them
because that stuff sticks in your brain. And, oh, like, go back to your child's state, yeah.
I love that. Man, yeah, so I love
so
teaching questions as an angle. I'm full of, I like that. Or my partner always used to love to say, if you're a superhero, which one would you, what power would you like to have? And I like that too.
And some other good ways I found to make friends are through shared interests. So, like, sports for me is how I've made most of my friends. Find groups like through meetup for things that you like to do. Yeah, like Ben, I know you've made friends in Hawaii through like music together, right? So you found people
through friends
like music community.
I wouldn't have friends. Like I have a friend that's recently like become single after like 17 years of relationship, and he started doing taekwondo and jiu-jitsu and muay thai, and he's like developing his interests and like he's meeting similarly minded people. Is that a hard word to say? Similarly.
And
friends are interesting things. They're like people that are like, yeah, I like you, I want to be your companion on this voyage of life, but let's work it out.
Well, and honestly, a few years ago, I just started saying that to people when I met them, like at a potluck or like a friend's birthday. If we were getting along, I'd be like, I like you. Probably come out like super autistic, but
just say
I like you. And then and then oftentimes they'd be like, oh yeah, I like you too. And I'm like, cool, let's be friends.
I had a guy come up to me the other day, and I think it was really cool to see his proactiveness. He was like, hey, I want to be your friend. Can we be friends? And I was like, wow. Yes, 100%. Yes, with that attitude. He's like, I like your energy.
Yeah.
I'd like to be your friend. And I was like, cool. Ring-a-ding, like, sign me up. That's so sweet. But I think that
being
that one to say it, like, because I think that there's a lot of opportunities that present themselves, and sometimes we just don't take them, you know, like, or they'll think I'm weird, or I'm too weird. But if you see someone that's like, I saw one person once that was, like, journaling for hours, and I was like, wow, I want to be their friend, based on that alone. Because I feel like it was a trait that I would emulate. They say that, like, the people we spend the time with the most, we kind of become. And I think that I think there is such thing as like friends that just take from you too, you know, and drain your energy.
Oh yeah, for sure. But and like, I think it's good to recognize that.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's about trimming the tree as well as growing the tree, you know, if people that sometimes I think it's good to say like, hey, I see our relationship like this. I would like if we could be more two-sided, or like I'd love if we could both nourish each other, or to like, you know, to change the circumstances or the prerequisite is the right word of the relationship. You know, I think that's important to say like, hey, I feel like you just want something from me, and I want to feel like this is a two-way relationship. I think it's good to say like, be proactive and kind of like organizing the structure of it. Yeah.
I think it can be harder sometimes in friendships to have those kinds of conversations, because we're conditioned to think that we can have those conversations like with our partner, with our romantic partner. So I think sometimes this maybe feels a bit more uncomfortable to like take a friend and sit down with them and be like, hey, I actually don't feel like I'm getting what I would like from this relationship, because friendships are relationships. Everyone we interact with is a relationship, right? And that's actually kind of quite a poly mindset to have, of like treating each individual relationship as its own thing and giving it like the time and attention, thinking about like, actually, what elements of relationship do I want from this? Is it fine that we just play sports together and we don't talk? That's fine. That's some of my friends, maybe they're more acquaintances. But yeah, it's like sitting down and saying what you want.
Too.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I think that with ADHD, we can be extreme people pleasers, which makes us liable to kind of like bend to pressure from people that see us a certain way, that like certain aspects of us, and they can emotionally like guilt us into being like, oh, you should spend time with me. Like, come on. Like, you have to spend time with me. And that's not a relationship. That's, like, you know, not equal. And I think that part of having good relationships with ADHD is learning about how to communicate your boundaries and learning to say no sometimes. Like, because we can say yes, and I know for me, I say yes so easily. You know, especially, like, I don't want them to feel sad. I don't want them to feel like I don't care about them. And some people, like, I think as I've learned about boundaries, I'm like, oh my god, some people are really guilt trippy about like random things, and they don't respect when you say no, and those people are dangerous. And I think you have to have proper strong boundaries to negotiate those, navigate those kind of relationships. Very interesting.
And I think good friends, people who really care about you, will respect your boundaries, right? Like, if they're like, oh, can we hang out tonight? And if you are like, actually, I'm feeling really, like, overwhelmed, I need time to be at home alone. Like, a good friend would be like, yeah, respect that. Take some time for yourself. But someone, like you said, who's like, oh, but we never spend time together, and I never see you. And, you know, getting, like, pushing your boundaries. So, yeah, be aware of those things. We have a few responses from the community that I just wanted to go through. So I asked people what helps you nourish your friendships. So to maintain those friendships, once you've made them, once you've been that person who's like, I want to be your friend at a party, and you've connected with someone, how do you make sure you don't lose them?
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah. So one of the responses is being friends with other ADHD peeps. I think that definitely helps because we're a bit more understanding. I'm like, oh,
easiest way to have friends.
You forgot about me. Find other ADHDs.
When you don't reply for 3 months.
Yes.
Or 7 or 10.
Honesty and understanding each other. Yes, being honest is important in all relationships, I think. And understand it, like, or at least trying to understand what's going on with your friends.
Communicating how you're feeling and your energy level with other ADHD or other humans has been a great tool for me. Being like, hey, I'm really overwhelmed right now. I'm at 10% battery. I'm at 20% battery. And then,
yeah, as opposed to just closing off without any kind of warning. And then that's when people get upset or don't understand because they don't know what's going on. They think you've just like ghosted them. Whereas if you communicate that, 100%. Someone else. Proximity. If they are nearby, it's easier for me to maintain. For sure. And I don't know if this is just for an ADHDers. I think this is probably an overall thing. Maintaining friendships. Yeah, it for sure is easier when they're there because you see them. And on that note, someone else was like hanging out with friends. Yes, if you can. Like you said, just being in each other's presence, I think. It helps bond. Like, go grocery shopping with your friends. Yesterday, me and my friends just went to the pool together and, like, hung out in the hot tub and like, jumped off the slide and stuff. And it was, like, so fun. It's just being in each other's presence, I think, builds connection.
Wow, that makes me feel lonely to hang out with people. Again, I've been isolating myself like a month doing creative stuff. And seeing the image of you sliding around with your friends is making me like cry inside. Like, nice. This is good. This is good for me to hear.
Yeah, doing things out of both of your comfort zones. Yes, that's good. Like, find friends who want to grow and do things that maybe you're not comfortable with, but like, not forcing each other into things, but just like trying to learn new things. Yes. I'm open. They completely understand how I feel, even if it's scary. Yes, having people who, like you said, you can be open and honest with and tell them what's going on. And sometimes that is that you're not in a good space. And I think it's important to have people in your life who you can tell those things to. Like, I felt like taking my knife and the other day, and like, because when you get to that point,
being able to share your real feelings,
having people that you can communicate to, because then when you are in those places, then you know you're not alone, and having friends who can be non-judgmental. Like, I have one of my friends, and when things are bad with either of us, I know I can just call her and like cry. And it's important
cry
to
line.
Have that.
Cry hotline.
Cry line.
People that can hold space, I think, is a great.
Someone else said.
Traits in a friend.
Yeah, when they are patient, which is a similar thing. Like, when they can wait for you to get to whatever point it is that you need to.
Yeah.
Right? Like, maybe you're not there emotionally, or maybe you're just not there because you're running late. And if they are patient and waiting for you, that is very nice.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think holding space is like, you know, they allow you to speak your truth, and they accept where you're at, and they're not emotionally reactive when you are emotional. I think helps ground us, and that helps co-regulate us down to a kind of baseline healthy state of mind.
Oh, this one's a good practical note. She said, explaining Great. That I struggle with texting and replies, but it is not reflective of how much I care. So, like, letting people know up front that, like, hey, I might not text back, but it doesn't mean I don't care about you. It just means I got distracted and I'm daydreaming and it's okay. And then the same person also said, repeating calendar entries to remind me to text a friend for coffee/lunch. So, like, if you're struggling to hang out with friends, put a thing in your calendar that will pop up in 2 weeks' time. Ask so-and-so for a coffee date. Boom.
It prioritizes reaching out. Because I think I've always been, like, just reactive to friends instead of proactive. And I think that would mean a lot to be a bit more proactive. So that's awesome. What an amazing amount of good information about friendships. Do you want to share some more? Or
yeah, there's a couple more.
Quick tip ready to go.
There's only like two or three more. Quick texts to touch base when I think about it. 2 a.m., 4 a.m., whenever it may be. Yes, I have a habit of going through my photos app on my phone. And then just like, I'll go back to like 2016 or whatever, some random time. And I'll just send photos, like whatever time it is that I'm looking at them. And they'll be like, I'll just send the photos to the people that are in them. As like I was thinking about you. I saw this photo. And they like that sometimes alone just starts a conversation. Another couple, finding weirdos like me, other neurodivergents. They have the same problem, so no one is mad. And another, the final one is quality time together and checking in via text. Yes. So again, it's just that, like, doesn't matter how often it is. It's been 3 months. It's been 6 months. It's been a year or two. That text is still nice to get, right? So, Benno.
I think this has given me a lot of confidence in terms of, like, reaching out to people, new or old, really.
Yeah. Because send some texts.
Friendships at the end of the day help regulate our nervous system. Therefore, they're great for our executive function. And I think that's something I want to super underline. Like, we don't prioritize how much relationships help ADHD, because through co-regulation of our nervous system, we are literally making our prefrontal cortex work better, because it's not in a fight or flight mode. It's in a relaxed mode when we're talking with people. And it helps us keep our prefrontal cortex, that our logical center, online instead of being emotionally led. And just, and like more distractible. Executive function helps us do everything, la la la. But I just wanted to underline that because I really didn't understand how much of an effect friendships had to benefit our mental health. And I think that's why I'm so glad we did this episode.
Yeah. So what's your quick tip?
Finish. Well, let's go.
Get ready for the quick tips. Oh baby, got the quick tips.
Ooh.
My quick tip for this week is just speak kindly to yourself. Because I think that so easily we can guilt trip and bully ourselves without even realizing. I think a lot of thoughts, and I know this isn't related to friendships, but I feel like it's important, is to realize when our mind is being mean, and when that happens, to say, like, hey, brain, we don't say these things to ourselves anymore. We don't talk mean like this. And I think catching those times when it happens and replacing that neural network with like a positive thought about yourself or what you've been proud of this week. You know, maybe you've reached out to a friend, or maybe you've just woken up and showered. Even if you can say, point out those little wins and replace that negative critical thought intentionally, is makes a humongous difference long term. And it's okay to see that critical voice and just say, like, oh, look at this fucking critical voice doing its thing, like, and to be okay, like, okay, I understand that that's an echo from the past based on things that happened a long time ago. It isn't who I am today. It's just the radio of my mind playing its little dance. And to replace it with, hey, this morning I woke up, I showered. This morning I woke up, I even made my bed. Wow. Today I stay hydrated. Today I did 2 minutes of mindful breathing. And therefore I'm kicking ass in life and I've won the day. And I think that just changing the narrative of your story through those little things over time, and catching that negative voice when it happens makes long-term difference, amazing difference. So that was the quick tip.
Get ready for the quick tips. Oh, baby, got the quick tips.
Thank you. So you should celebrate that you've listened to this episode. If you've gone the whole way through, you are a juicy, juicy, amazing human that is doing the best thing for your mental health. Do share this episode with other people that you feel like would benefit.
Share it with your friends.
With your friends.
Even if you haven't spoken to them in a while, just send them this episode.
Yeah.
Out of context.
ADHD Doers is a group of people that are trying to make the best ADHD information available to the most people. So we make workbooks. Check them out on ADHDdoers.com. And thank you to our sponsors for this episode, Sansama and the other one.
SageSR.
Wait, SageSR. Love you. We're so good and at this. SageSR, so check them out.
And another way to make friends, as Ben mentioned, we have a community. And you can check out our Discord. That is a great place to make friends.
Actually, our Discord is amazing.
Other people who are just like you. So you can sign up for that, pay what you want through Patreon, which you can go to our website, adhdoers.com, and find the link to the Patreon there. Or patreon.com/adhdoers.
Cool. Lots of love, guys.
Get on there. We're on there.
Treat yourself well and celebrate your wins this week. Celebrate your wins.
We love
every
you.
Every single little one. We love you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.